Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, what's going on? How we doing?
Hey, good morning, Robbie. Hey, for what it's worth, I don't vote for the MVP, but if I did, I'd vote for Aaron Rodgers.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was, man, just incredible stuff coming out of the city of Chicago yesterday. So, Gentry, obviously, we've talked a lot this morning about Derrick Henry returning to practice. That is the expectation heading into practice today. What kind of a shot in the arm could it be for a team that's in first place, a team that has a chance to clinch the number one seed in the AFC this week in Houston? What kind of a shot in the arm do you expect it to be for this group to see number 22 back out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously huge. And, you know, as you guys have discussed, I don't think we know what to expect yet on Sunday. I think it would probably – I would be surprised personally to see him out there on Sunday, even though, I mean, if you're back at practice, presumably you can play, so I guess it's not impossible. But I think, yeah, just getting him back out there, everybody on – when Derrick Henry's on a football field, everybody knows what that means. Everybody on the Titans, everybody on the other team, anybody in the AFC who's reading headlines about this is probably not real excited about the fact that it does indeed look like 22 is going to be back for the playoffs. So, obviously a big deal.
Well, and that's a good way to put it, Gentry, because obviously it is. I was actually stunned. I've thought all through this time period without Derrick Henry, they've done a really good job. They've had some big days running the ball. Obviously, you had like the day at New England where you had the fumbles, but you had some big runs. But I was still a bit stunned to see like the numbers, you know, compiled over eight games and how they compare to the, you know, the eight games of his production. But there's still just such a huge difference to me in, I think, how teams play them, even though Vrabel kind of shot that down the other day. But even just like the emotional aspect of it, right? Like the psychology of, one, you fear him, but also you are so geared to stop him, as we see from all these teams early in games. Then eventually it's like he's ultimately going to batter you, and you are going to wish you were not playing against him in the fourth quarter of these games. Like, yeah. I mean, that's just a lot. You know, I mean, it's just like there's some things beyond the numbers that are significant here.
Well, how many players in the NFL could really take over a game? And, you know, Derrick Henry has done that so many times. He did it in the playoffs 2 years ago, completely carried them all the way to the AFC Championship game. And to think that you could get him in a scenario now where he's fresh and healthy and able to work against tired defenses this time of year, I mean, you could see where this could be very scary for another team to deal with a guy like this. I'll say this, though, and we're talking a lot about Henry, and we're going through the next week or probably weeks, but the real reason why I think the Titans are scary this year and a legitimate contender to really do something this year is on the other side of the ball. The big difference to me is the defense, and I think the fact that they're playing defense now, I think, is kind of getting overshadowed a bit by A.J. Brown's return and Derrick Henry's return and some of the big names on the other side of the ball. The big difference to me is defense. That's why going into the playoffs last season, I never really thought the Titans had much of a chance. But this year, I think they do. And the defense, to me, has kind of been the story of the season and how much they've improved. And over the course of the year, from last year to this year, it's amazing.
Well, defense is in sensational. You feel great about that if you're a Titans fan heading into the postseason. Gentry, I do want to ask you, speaking of the defense, about this Bud Dupree situation. Obviously, charges now have been filed yesterday, and we've seen videos come out about the altercation at the Walgreens. How big of a deal do you think this is and could be for both Bud Dupree and the Titans as they move forward here?
Well, it's not a good look at all. You know, when you see on the TMZ video, these videos that have come out, they've almost, to me, created more questions than they've answered, because why was he so upset? What did the other guy do, say? I mean, we don't know exactly the whole story, but, you know, at this time of year for a guy who's that high profile, no, it's not a good look. Especially when there appeared to be a time where you leave the store and then you come back in, you know, maybe not the best decision there. But I think from the standpoint of, is he going to be disciplined from the league? Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think as a misdemeanor, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but you know, it's not a good thing. It's not what you want right now.
Well, if they get swept by I agree. I mean, the ramifications in terms of participation, all that stuff, you know, I think the process will probably play out after the Super Bowl is over. But if they do get swept by the Texans, then right or wrong, this will be brought up as, you know, as a distraction, as a factor. You just don't want, if things are moving in such a great direction for this team right now, and then you have something like this that, you know, is going to potentially distract people. But you know, I mean, I agree with you. It's, you know, the ramifications aren't there in terms of his participation. But what about, you know, the importance of this game, Gentry, and just the difference, you know, between being a team that would have to win three games and possibly one on the road, and you know, a team that if you do end up seeing Kansas City, which I think most people think, you know, is the top team out there right now in the AFC, the fact that you could have them at home.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you can't beat the Texans, especially after losing the first time, so you know, there's no. There's no taking this lightly. This game, obviously, everybody on that team knows exactly what this means, and they also know they're capable of losing to the Texans because they already had. If you can't win this game, then I don't think we need to start talking about Chiefs, Bills, Patriots, Bengals in the playoffs if you can't get past the Texans. I mean, this is really the first step, and as you the point you made earlier, it's a playoff game. It's getting one round ahead in the playoffs. And really, to be thinking that, I know the one seed has been in discussion. The Titans have been in discussion for the number one seed much of the season. But I think when you go back to when Derrick Henry was hurt, I don't think very many people would have realistically thought the Titans could get something like that. You know, going into that, they were going to be struggling to stay afloat, probably in a lot of people's minds. And to sit here, go 5-3 over that stretch, be in position to do this, it's pretty amazing, and they're putting themselves in, they're giving themselves an outstanding opportunity here if they're able to get it, because it's such a huge advantage. More, you play one fewer game, but more than anything, guys, you don't go to Arrowhead. And if you were there a couple years ago when it was just frigid and just awful conditions and just an enormous home field advantage, that day in Kansas City, to me, was the kind of game where you walk into that stadium and you sit down and go, man, I don't know if the road team's winning this one. It just had that feel of inevitability while you were there. Arrowhead's that kind of place. You don't want to go play there if you don't have to. It's huge. You don't have to do that.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Gentry, last thing for you here. As you look ahead at this team in the playoffs, and you brought it up a little bit, but I want to kind of double down on this talk. We were having this discussion earlier in the show about how much Derrick Henry coming back changes expectations for this team heading into the postseason. So I guess my question for you is, what were your expectations heading into the postseason without number 22, and how much do those change with Derrick Henry coming back into the fold?
Well, it's a tough one just because I did kind of always expect they were going to have him back. That's kind of what you were hearing the whole time. I would have been surprised if he wasn't back, but I think it is a huge difference. Now, if you're talking about you get the bye, you get games at home. I mean, obviously, you know, I was walking down after the game on Sunday, and you know, one of the guys working the press box, I just overheard him asking Siri on his phone where the Super Bowl is this year. As I'm walking down there, and I just, you know, instinctively, I look at him, I go, Los Angeles. And I go, oh, thank you. And I'm just walking out, just chuckling, going, all right, let's all relax. But no, I mean, it really is that kind of thing. That performance they had against Miami, as dominant as that was on both sides of the ball, I think kind of opened a lot of people's eyes to the fact that the Titans have gone through all this adversity and all these injuries, and they've come out the other side of it a lot better. And they're a lot healthier defensively. They're a lot. They're getting guys back. The O-line looks healthy now. Derrick Henry back. It's, you know, they show all the signs of a team that's peaking at the right time. So I think, you know, as you guys were saying, I think the Super Bowl or bust is fair. I think it's kind of been that way all season. But if you go in with the one seed, I think, you know, no doubt.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. Does a great job covering the Titans and really everything for the Tennessean. Gentry, appreciate you taking time to join us. And great stuff as always, my friend.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes, our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Gentry had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Join Stillman & Company this Monday from 2 to 6 p.m., live from 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Prior to the college football championship game as Alabama takes on Georgia, 312 Pizza Company is home to the best pizza in Nashville and a great spot to watch the big game. So come on down to 312 Pizza Company at 371 Monroe Street on Monday and hang out with 102.5 The Game and stick around for the college football championship as well, kicking off at 7 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Josh in Spring Hill texting in says, I hate that we have to throw expectations on this team. I hope and think they can. I also fear and think they might not. I know in sports we try to predict the future so often, but I want to enjoy the moment with this team and appreciate the season that we're having. This coming from Josh in Spring Hill.
Oh, sack up, Josh, and say, if they don't win, you're done with them forever. No, in all seriousness, Josh, that's a very nice post. And I agree that people should enjoy moments like this. If you're a Titans fan, you should be enjoying it. You know, how many times we talk about the glory days, McNair and Eddie George and, you know, Wycheck and those great teams. I mean, you're kind of in glory days now. So every once in a while, step back and appreciate that.
Jamal from his whip texting in says, what do you guys think about the run game play calling when Henry comes back? I noticed a lot of cutback runs for Foreman. That's not really Henry's game. Doesn't that change blocking schemes and play design? This is coming from Jamal from his whip. Jamal, we hope you're being careful out there.
So, Jamal, I don't know if you enjoy watching the Tennessee Titans ever, but that's exactly Derrick Henry's running style. I mean, obviously if he's got a seam, he'll take it, but where he has gotten really, really good in this outside zone scheme, that's what it is. I mean, it's finding that cutback lane. It's sticking your foot in the ground, making that cut and going. And so, I mean, he's done that a lot, man. That's a big part of it. I mean, they do gap stuff too sometimes, of course. They're pulling a guard and they're, you know, going to a particular gap, but it's mostly outside inside zone, and that means cutting back quite a fair amount. And it's just that you know, that really it's actually a lot more complicated than it appears to all of us, in terms of sometimes you got to take that right there, sometimes you got to have that patience and realize that it's about to open up over here, you know. And he's gotten really good at it in 2018, early in the season, and in this scheme, the first year of this scheme, you know, he struggled some, as he admitted, as some people in town don't want to acknowledge.
Cody on the text line says, assuming we get a first-round bye, how do you think Nissan Stadium will look for the playoffs? Will we have home field advantage, or will we be swarmed by other teams and fans? Well, I think, first off, some of that depends on who the matchup is in terms of how many fans from the other team will be here. But secondly, like, you know, I know we had this big wide-ranging discussion of the Buffalo Bills game where anywhere from 10,000 to 65,000 Buffalo Bills fans were in the building, and we haven't quite nailed down exactly what that was. But really, other than that, there hadn't been a whole lot of opposing team fans in the building this year that I've noticed anyway.
Yeah, that would have been the best. The Kansas City brought, you know, a good – I mean, you've seen some good travel crews from other teams, but it hasn't. No one's taking over the stadium, including the Bills fans.
It's sold out for the Bills, right? Like, there's 70,000. They had a bunch of folding chairs.
There were a couple Titans fans in the building. Couple, two, three. Now the Bills fans did drink all the beer on Broadway, but
good for them.
That is a good question. So if you go through the possible teams that could come here, I would say you really don't need to worry about it with, like, if the Chiefs come here for the title game, I think you'd probably see a fair amount of people traveling here and willing to pay premium prices to get into the stadium.
The Bills will do anything possible to leave Buffalo in the wintertime, so there'll be a lot of Bills fans here.
Yeah, if the Bills were to get here. But, I mean, like, I will say when the Patriots played here, I was a little – I guess you don't think about them as like a traveling, but there's a lot of people who live here who are Patriots fans, so they might have a good presence. If it's like the Colts, Bengals, Chargers, something like that, I think regardless, the overall answer I would say is like they will have a home field advantage. They will have a distinct and important home field advantage in any playoff game. I feel good about that based on how Titans fans showed up this season during the regular season. I think, you know, you're going to see – a lot of people who paid their dues doing that are going to pay to be inside that place for the playoffs.
Do Chargers fans exist?
That's a weird one.
I've just never met one.
Yeah. Well, the Raiders, they can absorb, they can survive moving wherever the heck they move, and it doesn't matter. The Oakland people, mad, and they moved to L.A., but whatever, they're still Raiders fans. Then you got L.A. fans who are now Raiders fans, and then whatever, back to Oakland. Now they're in Vegas, great. Raiders fans are Raiders fans. Chargers fans, it seems like if they're in San Diego, they love them, but now that they've moved away, it's kind of like, I mean, how many people in St. Louis root for the Rams now?
Probably not a lot.
I mean, obviously they hate ownership, but like, unless you're one of those brand teams, you know, you lose a ton of people when you move. How many? There are some Oilers fans who root for the Titans. Some, but I don't think a ton.
No, I don't think so either. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I've got a texture that says, I saw a couple power rankings. They're still putting the Bills and Chiefs ahead of us. Crazy. Oh, yeah, we're back to the power ranking talk here on Robin Rick. So, which, by the way, look, I had the Chiefs ahead of the Titans in the power rankings. I don't really have a problem with people putting Kansas City ahead. They've lost one game in the last like 2.5 months. So
I did my for the Athletic. I filled mine out the other day. I haven't seen our post on it where they end up, but I voted Packers 1, Chiefs 2, Titans 3. So unapologetically, I think the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC right now. And I know they just lost, but again, we can go week to week on results and you can make a case for, you know, a lot of things. You can make a case for a lot of things with the Titans based on results.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think 3, that's where I had them, is pretty – I think it's fair.
Dennis texting in said, Logan Ryan would say the Titans fans don't exist, not Chargers fans. That is true.
Oh, this is true. Yeah, Logan Ryan, I thought Taylor Lewan had some good comments on that, by the way, last week. But I think Logan Ryan – had he played for the team this year, would have a different mindset on that.
John in Columbia saying the Titans will choke. That's all the text message says. Just says they will choke. Very high confidence from John in Columbia on the Titans.
Is that you, Indy Ben, with your burner? Is he your burner, Indy Ben? Come on, fess up, Indy Ben.
Make sure you play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick 3 football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. By the way, we'll have Mike Wilson coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols, both on the football front and the basketball front as well. Dickie V tweeting out on Twitter, apparently listening to Paul Feinbaum, says, yes, Paul Feinbaum is right. Tennessee got a bad deal in the Music City Bowl. They won that game as the Vols should have been credited with a touchdown and OT. And Josh Heupel has Vols heading uptown, baby. This is coming from Dickie V on Twitter. So Dickie V throwing in some Vols thoughts. Good to see.
Wow. I need to – some of these Purdue fans who have annihilated my mentions, I need to turn them on Dickie V. But not really, because Dickie V is going through it right now and still fighting hard, man, and still all over Twitter as he fights cancer.
Absolutely. And no question about it. And All of us still praying for Dickie V, no question about it. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Well, the Preds have a weekday game this season. It's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning, coming up at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, new segment idea called Michelle's Monday Movie Reviews, where Michelle gives a full report on one of the movies from the growing list of Robbie and Rex Road approved movies that Michelle has not seen. Michelle's Monday Movie Reviews. I don't hate it.
I kind of love it, but that means I got to watch all these movies. So
I'd say that means like every weekend.
Every weekend.
You can't do anything but watch movies.
Well, honestly, that's probably what I'm going to be doing this weekend.
You can get one movie in per weekend, right?
I'll probably get three in because I'll be in all weekend. But then I can't watch football and basketball.
Okay, so on a weekend where you have extra time, you can get three in, then you can bank those, right? And then on a crazy weekend where you're running around and stuff, you can't do it. You've already got a movie banked from like a down weekend. You know, see what I'm saying?
That's right. Like you can keep notes, everything.
Listen, I'm going to make the Excel sheet. I'm just going to off the top of my head, put some movies in there that I know you guys are very, very passionate about. And I'll start this weekend. How about that?
This is for you, Michelle. It's not for us. Okay.
Yeah.
We're trying to make your life better.
Okay? Listen, my mom
put the Godfather and Godfather 2 both at the top. And then
okay, I'll
there.
Put those at the top. Those will be this week. And my mom just texted me in all caps, OMG, Michelle Monday movie review. Hi, Mom.
Shout out.
Now listen, when you say I'm going to watch those, if you're going to watch Godfather and Godfather 2, that's about, oh, I don't know, 8 hours of movie. Yeah,
it's just going to take up your entire weekend. So just be prepared for that.
I may have to split those up.
Well, I might love them, so could be good.
You will.
Matt from Camden on the text line says, do y'all think Dupree misses any time because of this? Just started listening, so sorry if y'all have discussed this already. We brought it up a little bit. Obviously, some more news on the Bud Dupree stuff yesterday. Videos coming out. I saw the first video where I think it was Broadway Sports that posted it originally that I saw it from, where the video is essentially like a, I don't know, 10-second clip, and Bud Dupree appears to be like pulling somebody away. Not much physical contact going on with Bud Dupree, and I think you can hear him say, go get his phone or something like that in the clip. Since then, a video, I think, from TMZ has come out with more of kind of a surveillance angle. So it's a little bit more than that. Charges have been filed in terms of a misdemeanor assault charge for Bud Dupree. Now, as we were talking about earlier this hour with Gentry Estes, I don't think this is going to mean all that much in terms of Bud Dupree missing time on the field or being suspended or anything like that. In the grand scheme of things, you know, misdemeanor is really not that big of a deal, but it's certainly not what you want this time of year in terms of distractions. And look, you just don't want Bud Dupree being in that situation to begin with.
Yeah, it's a bad look and it's dumb. And the apparent decision to return is dumb.
Yeah,
it's a distraction. It's something we're talking about now. Headlines all over the place. You know, I'm watching Kentucky LSU and Vanderbilt Arkansas last night, and you got the crawl. You got the crawl every few minutes. Bud Dupree, you know, arrested for assault, which anybody who is, you know, doesn't know the specifics, like, oh my gosh, Bud Dupree assault, what, you know, I mean, it's just a bad decision. And if it was started when, you know, an employee at Walgreens started like filming him in the store, that's annoying. And I get being frustrated with it, but also at this point, even non-public figures, I feel like people are pretty used to just expecting to be filmed at all times, aren't they? I mean, like that's just.
I mean, every time you walk into a store, you're on a security tape. So,
well, there's that. There is that too. There is also that. Yeah. So it's not gonna. I mean, I figure that this will probably get bumped late beyond the Super Bowl. I wouldn't expect Bud Dupree to get any, jail time or even close to that. It appears no one got any kind of significant injury. If that were the case, maybe it'd be different, but I don't think it's going to affect his participation or anything like that. It's just it's a bad look. It's dumb, and it's a distraction.
Thank you, Mike.
There you go.
It does. This would qualify.
Yes,
it would. So we'll see what happens. We'll keep you up to date on the Bud Dupree stuff as more information continues to come out. Derrick Henry expected to be back on the practice field today for the Titans over at St. Thomas Sports Park. Don't think it's a huge surprise. Mike Vrabel talking about earlier this week, it's, you know, having discussions about potentially opening the practice window for Derrick Henry. When Mike Vrabel, we talked about this, you know, at the time, when Mike Vrabel offers up that information, that probably goes a long way in telling you what's coming down the pike. And then Diana Russini yesterday putting it out there that the Titans do expect him at practice today. So I guess not guaranteed. We'll wait and see and make sure he's actually out there. But all indications are that number 22 will be back on the field today. And obviously that is a gigantic boost for this football team to get him back in the fold. And, you know, I think you can make a pretty good argument that he shouldn't play on Sunday against Houston. There's people making arguments on our text line right now that he should. Well, I guess we'll wait and see what happens on that front. But I would still, if I had to assign a Robbie Stanley percentage to it, I would say there is a 90% chance that he is not playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm arguing right now on Twitter with Chris Yao who and Joey Garrison, some people who are adamantly he's got to play Sunday. I just disagree. I don't know how it's going to go. I would be surprised if he does, but I think it's possible. I still think that there's a risk reward, and I think that the reward of, you know, whatever you want to call it, knocking rust off, or, you know, being a better team, you know, for this huge game, to me, it's outweighed by the risk of re-injuring it before you even get to the playoffs. And if the more time, the better with an injury like this, then why not take a few more weeks? You should beat the Texans without Derrick Henry. And you made the point earlier, okay, knock some rust off, and now you won't play again for two more weeks. So are you going to knock all the rust off? Because now you got a two-week break, you know, before the next game. I would bring him out. It's like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Bring him out in that playoff game and just with like the spike shoulder pads,
oh, yeah. And
a gladiator mask, and just, you know, just intimidate the heck out of whoever is coming in here for that first playoff game.
Tell him to work on his game face a little bit, get a little growl in there from Derrick Henry. Be good stuff.
Yeah, some Braveheart like paint, you know, on the face or whatever. I mean,
could be the return of Braveheart. Little Mike Vrabel back in there with Braveheart.
Oh, yeah, we need that. We need that to recycle again. That should never be too far out of rotation.
Robert in Spring Hill text again says, if you go back and look at the Chiefs game from earlier in the season with Henry, AJ, and Julio all on the field together and the defense rolling, that is what the Titans could be. That is a Super Bowl winning team. This is coming from Robert in Spring Hill. That was obviously, when you start to list off the most impressive games this year from the Titans, I mean, I think there are a couple that you could throw onto that list for different circumstances. I think Kansas City's got to be up there.
Yeah, well, that's Kansas City was the one game I can think of where the defense looked great. The entire, you know, four-man pass rush was together and they all made big plays. And Derek, Julio, and AJ all made big plays. The offense was basically unstoppable. I mean, that to me is the standard of if you can play like that, then you can beat just about anybody. You can win the thing. Now, it's also worth pointing out that was during a time period when the Chiefs just weren't playing well. You know, so I think the Titans could have that kind of a performance and be in a much better game with what the Chiefs as currently constructed. Like the Chiefs are a lot better now, and it seems like in every way. They found their groove again on offense. I don't know how they ever lost it, but they did.
Yeah.
You saw it when the Packers went in there with Jordan Love. I mean, like they were just bad.
It was just a total rock fight in that game.
And they've found it again, and their defense is a lot better. Although we did just see what can happen if you've got if you can throw the ball. Like, that's still a team that is vulnerable. But I think that is the standard. That's like the Rams game maybe the most surprising win. And I still think the Bills win was awfully impressive just because they were playing so high level football at that point. But the Chiefs is that's the standard of performance for sure to me.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kevin texting in says, don't make Michelle start off with a hard, serious movie like Godfather. Start her off with a movie review of something soft and easy like Caddyshack. It's coming from Kevin from Clarksville.
Did you see my response?
There you go.
Did you see my response? I did not. How dare you? I have seen Caddyshack.
Oh, nice.
Well, in fairness, I mean, the statistical odds of you seeing a movie are...
How about when Ryan Porth was on on his last day, and he was like, come on, Michelle. And I was like, Ryan, what?
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, come on. Porth hasn't seen anything.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, this list, I mean, Porth's list, first of all, needs to get his guy in order up in Chicago, who's, you know, throwing all this wacky stuff up about Aaron Rodgers. But he also has a list that he needs to fulfill, even though he's moving to Chicago.
Lots of work Ryan Porth needs to be doing. He just texted me about 10 minutes ago, said he walked a mile and a half in -5 degree wind chill. And I was like, well, that's Chicago for you, my friend. Amazing. We'll continue the discussion when we come back. I got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit ballstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined to begin the 9 o'clock hour by our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Volunteers. Adam Vingan coming up at 9:30 from The Athletic. Another big win last night for the Nashville Predators, and Philip Forsberg out there stealing souls again last night. We'll get Vingan's thoughts on that coming up at 9:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, obviously, this is a big game coming up on Sunday for the Titans against Houston. You know, we'll get into kind of the weeds of the matchup itself a little bit later in the week. But just from an offensive standpoint, let's operate under the assumption that Derrick Henry doesn't play in this game. We got another text, which we've gotten a few of today, saying play him in garbage time, which I just, if you're not going to play him when the game is in question, I don't know why you play him in garbage time against Houston. So I don't really see that happening coming up on Sunday. The point of it is, like, I don't think you need Derrick Henry to win on Sunday against Houston. I think if you told me that Deontay Foreman runs the ball like he ran the ball last week, I'll take my chances with Deontay Foreman in this game, and we'll see Derrick Henry come playoff time. He ran the ball really well last Sunday.
Yeah, so a point, like Chris Yao made a point with me, like, you know, he's 17 rushes, 58 yards in the season opener. That's not the performance you want his first time out in the playoffs. So I understand the idea there. I don't remember the opener being about Derrick Henry. Doesn't look like Derrick Henry. I remember it being about, oh my gosh, the Titans are getting killed right from the jump, and Chandler Jones just hit Ryan Tannehill in the spleen again, and Derrick Henry is taken out of the game because they had to change how they played.
Taylor Lewan reintroduced to the crowd, coming back in from the sideline.
Yes, there is that too.
Connected on a block all day, Taylor Lewan is back in the game. they'll never get old.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think Derrick Henry, I don't think that was like, oh, rusty Derrick Henry and the Titans lost. I mean, I just think that the game situation was really what told the story of his numbers. So if you think it's like about, you know, rust or whatever, you can play him this week, but then you're taking another break. And the risk of that to me, I think the risk outweighs the reward pretty clearly in my mind, but we'll see what they do with it.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, I daydream almost daily that Mr. Part-Time Quarterback won't fade away in this chance at the playoffs again. You can't have confidence for another 3 years if he pulls another Ravens game. Heidi from Dixon, I guess referring to Ryan Tannehill as part-time quarterback. So I wonder what he's doing in the other part of his job.
I don't know. Full-time receiver? I don't know. I never. Is he moonlighting somewhere else? I don't know. But, Tannehill, big story here. Whatever happens with Derrick Henry, and I agree with Gentry Estes from earlier, I mean, the defense is there's a big reason why you should feel like this team has a chance. I mean, defense and running the ball still matter in this league. They matter in the playoffs. You know, it's like the NHL. You can do a lot of things, and you get in the playoffs a lot of times, and physicality, you know, and stuff like that, that maybe matters less in the regular season, matters more in the postseason. But still, Ryan Tannehill is going to be in a situation where he's got to make some high pressure, tight window throws, and we'll see if he can do it, if he can do enough.
Cody texting in says, I don't know why everyone's worried about Derrick Henry getting off to a slow start. Deontay Foreman has done more than enough to prove that if Derrick is not 100% come the first playoff game, he can carry it a little bit until Derrick Henry can get him back, can play himself back into shape. No way I play Derrick Henry in this game coming up against Houston. Now, look, Deontay Foreman's done a very good job. Deontay Foreman, I have a lot of confidence in Deontay Foreman in this game coming up on Sunday against Houston. I will say, I still believe, like, in order for the Titans to win a Super Bowl, you need Derrick Henry back in there and Derrick Henry playing really well. Like, I believe that's still the case.
Yeah, no question. But I mean, like, for this week, Deontay Foreman, Dontrell Hilliard, Jeremy Nichols, AJ Brown, Julio Jones, that defense. I mean, you should go kick Houston's butt and claim the number one seed and not be in a situation where if you don't play Derrick Henry, people are like, well, you could have played Derrick Henry, and now instead you're the two seed, and you know, the road to the Super Bowl goes through Kansas City. Like, you have to – I mean, I'm sorry, but you have to win this game with or without Derrick Henry. Convincingly. Like, there's no reason that you can't and shouldn't do that. But I also agree, like, you get in the playoffs, it's just so hard to know exactly how it's going to look with Derrick Henry, how they're going to use him, you know, like – but you got to feel that number seven, you know, can give you some pretty good play if you need him. And I suspect that he's going to be a factor, some kind of a factor, even in the postseason.
By the way, have you noticed who's been completely silent on the Derrick Henry stuff? Just hadn't said a word about it on social media. Adam Schefter hadn't said a thing. You can go down to his Twitter feed. I mean, he has retweeted Diana Russini. You know, so I guess you could count that if you wanted to. But, yeah, all's quiet from Schefter on the Derrick Henry front. Interesting how that works.
Okay, so Michelle shared something with us. I didn't – who was
this
that tweeted this?
It's really funny. Essentially, it was a screenshot of Adam Schefter. I don't know. I just saw it on my Twitter feed. It was a screenshot of Adam Schefter retweeting Diana Russini about Derrick Henry coming back. And then there was a picture next to it, and it was like, well, 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 what do we got here? And it was, like, zoomed in on him retweeting it. Rappaport won.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, Rappaport won this round. Rappaport also had Antonio Brown as a Buffalo Bill, but it never made sense.
Who knows? He could end up there.
Maybe he's just a little early. He's just a little early on that. How about that? What if the Bills did that? Woo, for the postseason. The Schefter thing is just, it never made sense. We said it from the start. It doesn't make sense unless he is telling you, basically, like, there's no way I want to come back, which never made sense anyway. I don't know, man. Weird. We don't need little pillow fights between Schefter and Rappaport.
We certainly do not. Dennis on the text line says, you have to recognize, though, how big this Texans game is to the Titans' positioning in the power rankings. We'll be one more power rankings before when the season wraps up here, to Dennis's point.
This is true. That's right. The power rankings are very, very important. The Titans need a good showing, and if Derrick Henry gives them a couple more touchdowns, they can win, you know, by like 30. Maybe they move up past the Chiefs in the power rankings, which is what really matters about the playoffs.
Yes. Well, what we could have heading into the playoffs is a situation where the power rankings suggest that you're behind the Chiefs, and DVOA is all over you again. I mean, all these fancy stats. It could be the perfect storm in terms of motivation for Vrabel heading into the playoffs.
I think they should do the NFL playoffs like the, you know, old school, and just have certain teams playing in certain bowl games, and then we all just vote on who wins the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine? Like, I can picture in my mind right now Vrabel in his Vrabehart outfit, just like with a PowerPoint presentation of different power rankings up there and where the Titans fit in, and just yelling. I think it's good stuff.
Yelling about analytics. Our EPA, our freedom.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on all things Tennessee Vols. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.